You're listening to SBS News.
Gabby Alamin is a Sahrawi Australian woman living in Melbourne who is calling for more recognition of her people's struggle for independence in the Western Sahara. The disputed territory is known as the last African colonial state yet to achieve independence and has been under an illegal Moroccan military occupation since 1975. Despite promises of self-determination from the international community, the future of the Sahrawi people remains unclear. So, Gabby, could you tell me a little bit about where you were born?
So, I was born in the Sahrawi refugee camps in Algeria. My parents fled the war in Western Sahara in 1975. And at that time, they were children and they became refugees in Algeria. That's where I was born and raised.
And so why the move to Australia? Did you believe that you'd have a better quality of life here?
Yes, definitely. Australia, it has had a great and really positive effect on my life and that of my child. I have a little boy. So yeah, here in Australia, I have the opportunity to access education, access healthcare, and a simple thing like my son can have a playground, because in the refugee camps where I was born and raised, life there is really difficult and the conditions are quite harsh. It's the desert. Sometimes the temperature reaches 50 degrees, and there was and there is until now not even a single playground for the children to play there. So when I was a child, I used to play in the street. I used to make toys out of recycled items such as plastic bottles, or I make sand castles. Sometimes I make dolls out of the sand and mud. And another thing that I'm very grateful for to be here in Australia is having the running water and electricity. That's something that we don't have in the camps. One of the things that is amazing about the camps, despite the hardship and the suffering, is that we have a great sense of community. People are always uplifting and they always have a hope to go back to their home country, to Western Sahara, and to have a better future for themselves and for their children.
Was it difficult to make the decision to leave the camps and create that distance between you and your family and you and your homeland?
Yes, it was definitely difficult, and particularly for my mother. She always believed that despite being in a refugee camps, and the only thing or the only type of life that we knew at that time was being a refugee, she always thought that having a strong family connection and having social network was very important. So that's definitely one of the things that I miss here, particularly because I'm here by myself and I raised my son by myself with no family. And sometimes it gets quite difficult. I do try my best to always go there every 2 or 3 years to go back to the camps and see my family.
So all of your family are still in the camps?
Yes, my family is still there. My father got sick during COVID and he passed away in the camps. He always had a hope to go back to Western Sahara, his homeland. The rest of my family still lives there.
So how old were you when you left to go overseas? And was that your decision?
Yes, I was a teenager. I was like 15, 16 when I left the camps. So before I came to Australia, I had chance to study in Latin America, because when I was in the camps, I studied hard, I guess, and I got a good grade, and that enabled me to receive a scholarship. So my parents saw a choice. They encouraged me to get education. They believed, and I think they still believe, my mom still believes, that education is a tool that can enable people to have a better life. And I'm very, very grateful for that decision, for them to allow me to explore the world and get a good education, meet wonderful people from different cultures. So I did a scholarship in Latin America. And then after that, I came here. So when I came here, it was definitely my decision. And I was right to make the decision to come to Australia. I find a lot of opportunities here for me and my son.
Has it been difficult living in a country like Australia, where most people are quite ignorant of the conflict in the Western Sahara, when it's something that must have held such deep emotional weight for you?
Whenever I say I'm from Western Sahara or I was born in a refugee camp, people like, oh, where is that? Like a lot of people here didn't know about Western Sahara. And I take that opportunity to explain to them about the struggle of my people and how my family still lives there and their struggle to self-determination. And hopefully one day the Sahrawis go back to the homeland and stop being refugees.
And so in your experience, how big is the Sahrawi community in Australia?
What I understand is that I'm the only Sahrawi woman in Australia, and I'm the only Sahrawi person in Melbourne. I think because of the geographical location, the distance between Australia and North Africa, so it's very hard for us and for my people to migrate to Australia.
Wow, I know Australia is a country of migrants, but it must be difficult being the only Sahrawi woman that you know of. How have you been able to find a sense of community here?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that really helped me was starting university. I have chance to meet a lot of students from different cultures, different religions, different, even sexual orientation. So it was something positive. I started uni and then I met these friends. And sometimes I invite them to my house. Sometimes I go to their houses. When it's my son's birthday, they are the ones to come and say happy birthday because my son doesn't have extended family here.
And being in a country where not many people have awareness of the Western Sahara issue, there must be a lot of pressure to speak out on your family's behalf. Is that right?
Yes, I think it is a personal responsibility towards my people, towards my family. Towards my father, who passed away in the camps, hoping that one day he would go back to his home country. So definitely there is a pressure, and sometimes it's difficult to also balance between that and between studies, because I study and work and being a mother to a little boy. But my family always reminds me of that, particularly my brothers and my mother. They always tell me, please spread the word about our struggle. Please try to get people involved and hopefully to pressure them, their government, so they can put pressure on the United Nations to organize the referendum so my people can decide their future.
So it's been more than 50 years since that struggle for Sahrawi independence began. Do you still believe that that dream of self-determination will be possible in the years to come?
Yes, I do believe that as long as there is a will, there is a way. My people, they have been struggling for 50 years now. And what's amazing about them is that they're not giving up. I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful that the next generations, my son, my grandchildren, don't have to go through the same thing that I went through, being refugees. And instead, I hope that they have a chance to live as normal people in a place that they call home and homeland. And never be refugees again.
Sam Dover, SBS News.